This is the podcast, the first Zoe and Will effort, mainly Zoe effort, of making a Zoe curry. So she's going to start off and tell you what ingredients she's got and how she's going to measure them and prepare for it before cooking.
And all that sort of stuff.
So over to Zoe.
Yeah, all right, okay, let's get started. It's nearly 20 past 10 in the evening, bit of a late dinner, but it's all right. Okay, today I'm going to show you how to make a kick-ass beef curry. Now, this is the nicest curry that I have had, except for one which was at an Indonesian or someplace, anyway. But this is the best, like, curry. And basically, it's really simple. There's a lot of ingredients. It's very simple, though. So if you've never cooked curry before, don't worry. We'll show you exactly how to make a really good curry. Alright, so basically what I'm going to do first is I'm going to read out some of the ingredients that we're going to be using and a few utensils that are vital. And so basically what I've got in front of me is about 300 grams of minced beef. So, you know, this is basically catering for two people because we've got Will and myself here and we really don't need to over cater too much. But it allows for a bit of leftovers if he's a bit more hungry or whatever. So anyway... So yes, 300 grams of minced beef from the local supermarket. 140 gram container of Lego's tomato paste or equivalent. So you can use tomato paste of other brands if you like, but I prefer this brand. Not advertising or anything, but just seems to do the best job with mince. 2 heaped teaspoons of Keen's traditional curry powder. Now, this is important. The curry that you use in beef curries is absolutely crucial because if you had the wrong curry, the wrong meat, it can taste absolutely crap. So, yeah, anyway, so that's Keen's traditional curry powder. It's in an orange box and you can get them in 120 grams or less boxes. Okay, 1 teaspoon minced garlic. So you get them in a little jar, 1 teaspoon of minced ginger, some sunflower oil just for frying, some ground salt, 1 to 2 cups of frozen chunky veggies. I tend to use McCain's winter mix, but tonight because we had some leftover stuff, we're gonna use McCain's homestyle chunky vegetables, which has got things like potato, carrots, celery, pumpkin, onions, etc. in it. So yeah, go for that if you want. But yeah, go for the winter mix if you can. Okay, and also 1.5 cups of pasta because we're gonna have a bit of pasta to put the curry on top of. So you can mix it through and sort of have your carbs as well as whatever. So, and of course have water on standby. It's very important to have that right next to you because curry, you'll notice it actually dehydrates water very fast and you can very easily burn the pan. Now, talking about pans, you'll need a large non-stick fry pan. So that's really important as well. A saucepan for cooking the pasta in, so which we've got here. Access to a working kettle, which we'll just put on boil now because we're going to need some hot water for the pasta. And
we can recommend the Shark Sensor Temp, of course.
Yeah, the Shark Sensor Temp, which is just going for a bit of a boil now. An egg flip, preferably a plastic one, as a metal one tends to scratch the surface of the saucepan. So, yeah, go the plastic egg flip. And yeah, basically that's pretty much all you need. Oh, and a strainer for the pasta later on, but we won't worry about that just now. All right, okay, so let's get stuck into it. Firstly, what I tend to do is I cook the meat first because the meat is the thing that's gonna take the longest to cook out of everything that we're cooking. So what you do is we're using a gas stove, so we're gonna need to get our little clicker out, which is our little, like that. You know, you just move the saucepan out of the way because we've got a fairly crowded little corner here. And light the stove like so. And make sure it's on a low heat at first, on a very low heat, because we're using oil. And if you pour oil, well, you actually start off by heating up the oil, I should say. But if you get oil really hot before you put things in like minced beef and these vegetables which have been frozen have still got water in them, it will spatter and you will get oil on you, and as you know, oil is not nice on clothes. So yeah, so you get your pan, get a little bit of some flour oil I wouldn't suggest any more than a teaspoon, in fact less than a teaspoon, because once these pans heat up and you sort of swivel them around, that oil will go a long way. So just a couple of little dribbles, and so we'll just let that heat up for a bit. Okay, we'll get our minced beef ready. It's in a wrap at the moment, so I'll just take it out of that. Use a knife to open that up with our special from Safeway or Woolworths or whatever it is around the country, in Australia here. Okay, and yes, like I said, we'll be chucking that in very soon, as soon as this pan's heated up a bit. And the shark sense attempts finish with the hot water there. So we won't cook the pasta just yet, because the pasta is only going to take about 20 minutes to cook. So in this instance, it'll probably take a bit less, because this stove does tend to cook fairly quick. Right, okay, we'll start off with a little bit more sunflower oil, because I didn't put enough in. And right, okay, I reckon that's ready to have the mince put in now. So we'll go and we'll wrap this meat out of its little container. Make sure you thawed out the meat before you start. So give it a couple of hours to thaw out, because this stuff will fizz in oil if it's still got lots of ice and things in it. You can get some dethawing things that'll help you out there. We've got a little dethawing tray, and it seems to do a reasonably good job. So like I said, we're still on a low heat here. We don't want to turn it up too fast. Those that are familiar with mince does tend to brown on the first side very fast. So we immediately turn it over and just mix it up and get this mince separated a bit, of course, because it's been frozen and thawed out, but not separated. So, all right, so we've got this happening. Okay, now we need to turn the mince down as far as we can, you know, as far down as we can without it going off, because we need to actually be doing organising of other things while we're going to this. And we've got half this meat left, so we'll leave that out for the moment. Right, okay, now once you've probably turned this over a few times, and you've got this mince mostly separated out and it's fairly happy, I would recommend probably putting the frozen veggies in after a minute or two, because if you put it in at a late stage, you'll find that they are quite crunchy because they've been frozen, and no matter how much you thaw them, these frozen veggies that you just get from the supermarket do tend to actually, you know, be more crunchy than real veggies when they're fried and curried and watered, but you'll learn all about that later. So alright, now I'm going to get the veggies now. I'd recommend probably about a cup of these veggies for two people. That's well and truly enough. Or between the meat and the veggies, if you're more of a meat lover, less of a veggie liker, you can have more meat, or you can have less meat and more veggies if you're a vegetarian or you just don't like meat as much. So anyway, in it goes. I've been a bit naughty and I haven't thawed out the veggies, so anyway, I'll find the repercussions of that. But anyway, also at this stage, if you're a big potato lover, you can also add two diced large potatoes that are washed and diced at this stage, instead of these veggies that can come a bit after that, because potato, as you know, takes a long time to cook. So that's another thing you have to do. We're not going to do that today, because this mix actually does have potato in it, Homestyle Chunky Vegetables by McCain's, just saying that again. We won't do that. The winter mix doesn't have potatoes in it, just so you know. So if you're going to do that, then I recommend... It's just potatoes go really well with curry, so I'll just wash my hands here. Right, okay. So just turn it over. Giving it a little bit more heat now, because we've got a few more veggies happening. But not, once again, not too high. You only want it in a medium heat now. So we're just mixing it through a bit, trying to thaw these veggies out. And And then we're basically going to be letting that sit for a while it sort of stews. And pretty soon we'll be adding some of the other ingredients here. But anyway, while we're actually waiting for that to get up to speed, we'll measure out some of this pasta. Now, for two people, I'll recommend about 1.5 cups of pasta. I've got these little weird shaped things today, but that's all right. It's still 1.5 cups of pasta. It's the same. So basically, if you just want to cook for yourself, by the way, you just halve all the ingredients that I'm just telling you now, and you'll get a pretty good size. I cook for myself at home a lot at the moment. So all right, so we'll measure out this pasta. So that's 1.5 cup. That's 1 cup. And that's 1.5 cups. That'll be plenty. You'll probably have leftovers from that. Right. Okay. Now, this saucepan is just a normal saucepan. Nothing unusual or, Teflon or anything. It's just a normal old saucepan. You can use any saucepan. Doesn't matter. As long as you occasionally stir the pasta. And, we'll just put that on the stove. We haven't put the water in yet, so we won't light that yet. And because this meat and veggies is coming along a bit, we'll just get in the corner here and flip it over a little bit.
Do you want to boil the water again, or is that?
No, that's okay. It'll boil really fast now because it will just. We could leave the kettle on hold, but of course that'll come out.
Well, hold is a luxury that only shark owners have. So
exactly. Yeah, they tend to.
We won't worry about that for the average person who has a pedestrian kettle.
Yes. Okay. Right. I'll just turn that over a bit just to make sure it's not going to burn the meat and stuff. And we'll keep going with this pasta. Now, I would recommend about 5 turns of this. If you've got a salt shaker, about 5 turns into the pasta. So 2, 3, 4, 5. That's all you need. Because you're only going to need a pinch of salt. It's just to give that pasta a little bit of flavour, that touch of flavour. And then we'll get the hot water happening again. And we'll wait for that. And probably about this stage too, you should add about, 3 turns of salt to the meat and the veggies that are cooking in the fry pan. Right, okay. It's turning again. It's really important that this mince is cooked really well, because any raw bits will really show up. The curry does cover a lot of that, but if you don't cook meat too well, it actually will affect the flavour of things. So just try and get it as much out as you can. Juices of the meat too, once they've come out, will actually help improve the taste of things as we go along. And get absorbed into some of the veggies like the potatoes and the carrots and pumpkin and stuff. So this is a luxury a luxury curry, because we've got all these different veggies that are in it that will just add flavour. As much as packaged pre-chopped up veggies will give flavour. Right, this kettle's finished boiling, so we'll put in let's measure this out, because I just tend to do this defaultly. Okay, we've got 1.5 cup, 1 cup, 1.5 cups, 2 cups, 2.5 cups, 3 cups, 3.5 cups, 4 cups. I reckon a bit more than that though, because this pasta will get big when it expands, so I'm going to add another cup. So about 5 cups of boiling water, just so that it speeds it up a bit. You can use cold water, but it just means that the pasta won't cook as fast. So we'll just let sit there for the moment. We won't put it on just yet. We'll just have it sitting on there, and if you've got a lid, just cover it so that nothing that spatters out of the saucepan gets into the pasta water. Right. Back to the main arena here. the meat, of course. Now, at this stage, it's probably a good time to start adding your minced garlic and your ginger. So you need a teaspoon, get out your ginger, and open it. It hasn't been opened in a little while. Just a teaspoon, maybe a bit more than a teaspoon, just bung it in. And then if you want to use the same teaspoon, of course, remember to wash your teaspoon. Water, and then attempt to open the minced garlic, which we always have on so tight because this stuff stinks. So make sure you have it tidied up a bit there. Okay, and there's our garlic going in, just one teaspoon of garlic, a bit more because okay. Alright, wash that teaspoon again so the garlic doesn't stink everywhere. Put the minced garlic and the ginger back in the fridge. There's heaps of that left. And then we'll stir it in. Basically just turn it over. When you're actually mixing this stuff around, don't just go around in circles because you'll miss most of the meat. You actually need to scoop underneath the meat and then flip it over like as if you were, scrambling eggs or something. Just get right under it like so and really sort of shovel it, because that way you actually mix the ingredients together more thoroughly and you won't have some people with just meat and some people with just veggies in their curry. So, just flip it over. And I reckon that's probably thoroughly mixed through now. Okie dokie. Now, we're getting a fair way along now, so I reckon what we might do is we'll actually put that pasta on now, because we're actually moving a lot faster than I thought we would be. So, we'll throw a few things in the bin, including the packaging that the chunky veggies came in. And we'll get our thing, which you can probably hear quite well. Just make sure you turn on the right gas thing, of course, as you know. Right. Have it on low for starters, once again. Gotta be careful with these things, especially in this kitchen. And so if you're gonna have a lid on top, I would strongly suggest having it partly uncovered. So just sitting on the top and with a gap, because often when you're cooking pasta, if you've got hot water in there already, it will bubble up over the top and you probably won't hear it as you go along. So just have it slightly off, and if it does bubble off, just take the lid off for a while and then just make the hole that's left over from the lid a bit bigger so that it won't bubble over again. So you can sort of figure out things that way. All right, just make sure you keep constantly keeping an eye on this meat, because you don't want it to stick on the bottom of this pan. Especially not yet, because we're not even up to the bit where it should be sticking to the pan. And if we got to that bit a bit too early, that would be bad. Right, so at this stage, all the mince is pretty well separated. So we've got a nice, even mincing and vegetabling going on. Just made up a word there, vegetabling. And we've got the pasta going. Okay, now we're gonna have to wait a few moments for things to cook. There's not a lot to happen now except for to wait around a bit. I would wait, check on it every couple of minutes, make sure it's not burning on the bottom. If it's starting to sizzle a bit much and stick, just turn down the heat a bit. In fact, I might do that now. So we've got it turned down. Right. Okay. Just turn it over a bit more. A lot of turning over in this recipe. And of course, if you do think things are sticking a bit much, rather than adding more oil, because then, of course you've got the thing with the oil going on in there, add a smidgen of water. So you get a little bit, get a glass or something here if you don't have a cup measure handy, and just get a little bit of cold water, and just a little bit. You'll notice it stops sizzling for a bit, but it'll be enough just to make it unstick. See, now you can hear that it's actually cooled down a bit. It's not sizzling so much. So, yeah. Very important not to flutter it out with water, though, because if you do that, the veggies will get gluggy, the meat will lose its flavour, and we've just put that lovely ginger and that lovely garlic in there, so we don't want to destroy them just yet. Right, okay, still doing a bit of waiting now. We'll turn up the pasta a bit now because we've come a bit more along. Okay. Right. Now, of course, with this recipe, you don't have to use pasta. I should mention just now while we're waiting for this to cook, you can use rice, in which case, if you've got a microwave, I tend to cheat and I just get about a 1 litre jug, and I put in 1 cup of rice. That will usually be enough for 2 people, small serves. If you want to put in 1.5 cups, that's okay too, but just remember that you will have leftovers because rice does expand. And then get the boiling water, do about the same, just enough to probably cover the thing a couple of centimetres. And then put it in the microwave and for about 2 minute intervals, and then keep checking it until it's actually cooked. And usually that won't take much more than 10 to 15 minutes. Okay, another turn over here. I think pretty soon we're going to be turning the fan on. In fact, I'll do that now. Hopefully it's not too loud. Okay, right. Now here comes a fun bit. Putting in the tomato paste. And this is my favourite bit because this is when it's not long from then that the curry goes in and you start to get the really nice smells and you start to get hungry and you start adding a bit more than you should be because you're just hungry. Alright, so as soon as I take the yogurt looking thing off the top of it, I should say alfoil. Now if you're eating by yourself, I'd recommend only using half this. Like I've said, half the ingredients. Right, okay, and in it goes. Just scoop it out with a metal spoon or something. 140 grams. And if you're not in Australia, then you'll know to figure that out. Not metrically, if you're in a non-metric country, of course, like America or somewhere. Right, just scooping it out. Now, one trick I've got is when you actually add the curry, you'll discover, like I said, that things will dehydrate. So what I do is, instead of a glass, I use the tomato paste container, if you've got one, that's what you use, to actually fill up with water, because that way all the leftover paste gets poured in as well as you go along. So yeah, you're not throwing out anything or wasting any food. So that's the Zoe way. There we go, see we've got the nice red water, red sea there. Yes, happening probably twice a month this month. Right, anyway, okay, let's keep going into it. We better mix this tomato paste into this meat and veggie concoction. And of course, in this fry pan, because I've got it off the side here, we've got things cooking up in the top corner a bit more, so if you do have that problem with space, just make sure you turn the fry pan around occasionally just to make sure you've got even heat throughout the fry pan. Okay, yes, of course things have stopped sizzling because we've just put the nice cold straight out of the fridge tomato paste in there. And now would be a good time to add just a little bit more water. So we'll do that. Just to give it a bit more sloshiness. If you're a slosh fan, water will be your best friend this evening. If you happen to be cooking dinner tonight. Right, okay. All right, now we begin to get the smell, begin to get the aromas. We've just put that tomato paste, as I just said, in, as well as the tomato pasty water, as I said before. The pasta's coming along, it's bubbling nicely. If I turn the fan off, in fact, you can probably hear it. There we go. Probably not very well. Anyway, we've got that happening. Right. And it's really important too that when you're actually in the kitchen that you don't leave the handles of saucepans out over the bench, because if some unsuspecting blindie comes along or someone knocks the fry pan because they're brushing against it, it lands on the floor, you get burnt toes, they get a burnt face, and no one's ever happy. So yeah, just be careful, make sure it's facing towards the back of the wall to avoid that sort of thing going on. Right. Of course, so long as you're, you know, turning and stuff, just make sure you hang on to the handle so it doesn't run away from you. Yeah, that kind of jazz. Okay. Just letting this thing cook a bit more. Now, I'm going to give it a little bit more heat, just as an experiment. See where we go with that, because mince is a different thing to cook with than what I am used to cooking with, which is little Frankfurts out of the freezer, which you can use, by the way. In fact, you can use stir-fry chicken strips or stir-fry beef strips as well for this. You don't have to use beef. Yeah, you can use lots of things. Okay. Now we're just doing the big weight. Another big weight, things to cook. Alright, about now I would start getting your bowls and things out. Not that you need to be told that. So then we'll just go to the cupboard over the other side of the kitchen and grab our a la carte bowls out, because you will need them. And there is one ingredient that I did forget to mention, and that is optional. And that's sour cream, about a tablespoon of sour cream, or a dessert spoon actually, it would probably be better, like a heap dessert spoon. Just gives it a bit more consistency and fluffens it up a bit. So it makes it a bit more creamy, I should say. Yeah. So I'll just check out if this is actually ready for the curry yet. Oh, you can hear that there. That means that we probably could do with a bit more water, but I won't put it in yet. In fact, first, I'll put in the curry. Now, just a few things about curry as I put it in now. Be very careful with it. Once you've been stirring and flipping and mixing around with your plastic spatula here, if you've got the sink nearby, just leave it sitting in the sink, because if you leave it on a bench, curry stains benches, and it's not easy to get out with. There's a few cream cleansers that will get it out, but if you get in contact with Will or I can probably give you a few handy hints on removing curry. If you get it on your clothes, it's not too bad. Most washers will get it out for you, so don't stress too much about that. All right, now I can hear I'm going to actually add water for the curry now, because I've been busy talking, and I think things are beginning to stick to the pan. We don't want to have that happen yet. Right. Okay, time to add the curry. 2 heaped teaspoons of curry, of Keane's traditional curry powder. So there's 1. And there's 2. That should be nice and spicy for Will, because he loves hot curries. Right. Okay. I'll mix that in. Now, immediately after this, if you haven't already, add a little bit of water. Just, you know, a little worth, you know, just a little drizzle. As soon as you start putting curry in, that is when things will start to dehydrate water out of the thing. Okay, now while I'm just letting that do its thing and putting the spatula in the sink so that it doesn't stain things, we'll actually check this pasta out, see how it's going. And we'll get a wooden spoon if I can possibly find one. Where's my wooden spoon? Oh, we got one. There must be one here somewhere. Ah, yes, here we go. Oh, it's a wooden spatula. Oh, well, that'll do. It'll be good enough. And just to give it, you don't need to stir the pasta much. You really don't need to keep an eye on it too much, as long as you don't have the heat up too high. Just give it a gentle stir occasionally, and it should be okay. So, yeah, just to make sure it doesn't stick to the bottom and you're getting as much pasturage as you can out of it. This pasta's still got a little way to go. Hopefully it's going to get bigger, because if it hasn't, then I haven't cooked enough pasta. Should be alright. Okay. Alright, time to add some water to this curry. Just a little worth. Okay. Now, it's getting a bit gluggy now, so I might just leave that to, on a low heat for a while. Turn it down to low and turn the handle around. Alright. Probably also a good time to get the sour cream out of the fridge. Just have on standby. So we do seem to have a lot of that around at the moment, because I have been incessantly cooking roast chicken nachos, which will be for another podcast, no doubt, because they are extremely yummy. And you can do it. Make nachos yummy, believe it or not. Right. And I think I'll go and have a glass of something while I wait for this to cook up a bit. Okay, we're back and we're stirring. This part of the podcast probably will get very boring, because we are just waiting for things to cook along. Might just turn the fan on again. And yes. Okay. Don't forget to put anything that was frozen, like the meat, if you've got meat left over, back in the freezer after you've used it, because thawed out meat hanging around does shorten its lifespan. So, yeah, make sure you, especially if you've had it open, just put it in a little plastic bag or something. If you've got a food saver, you can even seal it up. And we do have a food saver, but I'm feeling a bit lazy tonight, so I'm just going to put it in here, in this plastic bag, and bung it in said freezer. Simple as that. Alright, well, this pasta is expanding, which is I'm absolutely delighted with, because I was worried that it wouldn't, because it was so small, but it is. It looks like we will have the right amount of pasta. So that's a good thing. Yes, so we're probably, we've been recording, been going for about, it's 5 to 11 in the evening now, so let's see, about 35 minutes we've been going at it. I've been going at it. So it will take about, this recipe probably you'll finish up at about the 45 minute mark if you're experienced at cooking curries. Starting off, I would allow at least an hour and a half. I remember when I was first being taught how to make curries, and it did take me about an hour and a half just to get the ingredients right and the consistency and all that. It just comes naturally as you keep practicing making curry. But curry is a good thing to make. If you can't think of anything else to make, just make curry, because it is good stuff, especially this curry. Stir the pasta a bit. Ooh, it is sticking a little bit. Should have been more careful about that. That's alright. Oh no. Oh, I'm deceived. It's actually okay. Another tip, if you do happen to make a bit more curry than you thought, you decide to make a bit more, it's excellent for making jaffles or toasted sandwiches with, or having in normal sandwiches or on toast with eggs or something. It's really nice. Very nice. So we're just waiting for this. Oops. Ooh, flicked a bit of curry over the side there. That's alright, it was onto the stove, we can clean that off. And come on. Okay, I'm just gonna add half this class as Will walks up behind me and starts drawing away Nick. Thank you very much.
I'm hoping I'd scare you.
Oh yes. Yes, you'd love that, wouldn't you?
I think it'd be highly amusing. Especially yes. If you get it recorded.
Yes. Ah, there we go, look at that. Yum yum yum.
Well, it smells fairly good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Mwah. Yeah, we do a kiss occasionally.
We'll do a separate one for separate podcast for other things.
Oh yes, yes. yeah. Well, this microphone's probably about no. Yeah. Anyway, changing the subject. Yeah, still waiting for this pasta to cook, and we'll find out if it was the right stuff. Now I'm beginning to see signs of stickment again. Curry man. Yeah, that was late. Okay. Rightio. It's getting there, it's getting very close. I'm just gonna add one more little thing of water. Let that come out. And then I reckon this curry will be ready in about 5 minutes from now. So just make sure you mix that water in. Don't just pour it in and leave it there. Ingredients don't just mix themselves. I have to stress that with the curries, because you'll take a bite and you'll be really surprised and get a rude shock if you have this big lump of curry somewhere and it's excruciatingly hot, and some people cannot tolerate hot curry. So you're making a mild curry but you have a clump of curry, they won't appreciate that. So that's why it's also important to add water, because it dilutes the curry around a bit. Right, we're nearly there, The pasta's nearly ready. Yes, in fact, I think that pasta is nearly very ready. Excuse me, keep burping all the time, don't I? Just put the clicker away. And now's the time to add that sour cream. It is optional. I will say again, it is optional. You don't have to add the sour cream. But if you like creaminess, you won't even notice the taste. There it is. In it goes. Oh, big heaped dessert
spoon. That's going in. Dessert spoon.
Yeah. I said that earlier. Yeah. Right, now mixing that in, of course, while there's still water in there, so we can easily mix it round. I'm not saying it's illegal to do circular movements with your spatula. I'm not the spatula queen or anything. I'm not lecturing you or anything, but just don't stick to that one movement all the time. Right. We're so close here to having our kick-ass beef curry. It is like a cat's whisker off. Just got some water to dissipate first. And pretty soon, we'll be pouring it over pasta. Okay. Now, this pasta is going to come off the stove now. So, let's see. It's that one there. Turn that off. Now, get the pasta sieve. We've got a little perfect little sink thing. We've got an incinerator sink, which is tiny. It's only about a third of the size of a normal sink, so it fits. The sieve fits. It just sits perfectly over the top of that. So if you've got one of those to sit over that, you don't. Well, tough shit. But anyway, that's there. You take the lid off the saucepan. Make sure you take it off towards you, so you don't steam yourself out and burn yourself stupid. Lift the saucepan off and drain more pasta. Gosh. That was so fascinating. Just give it a bit of a shake. Get all the water that's sort of lodged in the little crevices, especially if you're using macaroni or something. Macaroni pasta, that is. And afterwards, just sit the lid over the top of the sieve and sit the sieve inside the saucepan. This should keep the heat of the pasta long enough until the pasta's ready. And just have that all sitting on the sink there so that it's out of the way. You're not obscuring a thing. We'll just put this sour cream back in the fridge, of course, because that will go off fast. Right. Give this curry another stir. Yeah, perhaps another few minutes off. I forgot to acknowledge that I forgot to consider that when we put the sour cream in, it actually gave it some more liquid, and we do have to wait a bit longer for things to ungluggify. But now that the pasta's gone, we've got more room on the stove here, so I don't have to keep turning the saucepan around to get even heat, which is really nice and really good. Now, I had this down on really low just then, so I'm just going to turn it off a bit now because it seems to be taking a little while to heat back up after we put the sour cream in. Sour cream does hold its coldness very well, even with heat when heated, so. But like I said, not too high. We don't want to burn things. Burnt bits and curry is not nice either. Right now is probably about the time. If you've got things that are left over, just put them away, get them out of the way. So after you've cooked your really nice meal, you don't have to think about cleaning up afterwards. That's the bit that I hate. So if there's any people that love cleaning up out there after meals, feel free to come to this kitchen, because we could do with that rent.
No, we don't enjoy that bit a lot.
No. And often Zoe slacks off and just leaves the dishes there for about 5 days, and Will goes, oh, yeah, there's dishes here, we better clean this up.
Yeah, they smell. Yeah.
We better do something because they smell. I mean, we don't go so far as to leave chicken carcasses lying in the bins, so they tend to go straight outside, but... Okay. I'm going to give this a couple more minutes. I know I said 10 minutes ago this will be ready in 5 minutes, but like I said, that sour cream does change things a little bit there. So...
more heat.
Yes, it does need more heat. Waiting. You don't have some simple little dessert just to whip up while waiting. I don't think I've got a Zoe special dessert, do I?
I think we ran out of ice magic.
Yeah, that's not Zoe special though, that's something you get off a supermarket. Okay, this curry is ready. Woo! It's beginning to stick and I don't want to add any more water to it, so that's as dehydrated as it's going to get. Hear it whistling there. We'll just turn off the fan and turn off the whistling.
And that's just improved the dynamic range of the recording considerably.
Yes. So we've got our pasta here, which has gotten a bit stuck together because it's been sitting there for a bit. So just tap the side, loosen it up. There we go. And then just pour them evenly into the bowls, the two bowls. As I said before, this is a meal for two. And yeah, I reckon 2 cups of pasta would have been better, but that's okay. We've got plenty of curry. Right, I'll bring the bowls of stuff over here. So directly underneath things. Just grab the saucepan and just gradually evenly distribute the curry.
That's the fry pan.
Saucepan, fry pan, they're same to me. And just make sure that they're evenly spread over the pasta. Okay. Look at that. And there we have Zoe's kick-ass beef curry. And we're probably now going to go off and eat this. What do you reckon?
Well, I think it might have to happen.
Yeah.
We probably don't need to record that.
Nope. So I guess we'll finish it there and hopefully this turns out okay. And any comments, just email podcast@zoetulip.com. And yeah, hope you enjoyed.